Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. As more and more of us turn to technology to get our news and entertainment, media makers and journalists are using the web to tell compelling stories through online documentaries. They're combining photos, drawings, videos, animations, sounds, and music, all with the web's unique ability for widespread and free distribution. We could be seeing the beginning of an entirely new genre of journalism. One of these new multimedia pieces is an interactive web documentary called Hollow. It's about the boom, bust, and rebirth of a single county in West Virginia. McDowell County used to be the backbone of the coal industry. Its population peaked at 100,000 in the 1950s, but it has been declining ever since. Half of the homes are rated below normal quality levels, and 67% of sewage waste flows into the creeks due to a lack of infrastructure. Hollow chronicles the area's struggles and the people's generosity. As you scroll through the different chapters of the documentary, you hear music, sound effects, and speeches. You see photos, timelines, statistics, and quotes. You can click on hyperlinks to watch videos and take tours to learn more about the over 30 residents captured in the piece. Rather than something you watch, it's really something you navigate and engage with. And this is just one example of the innovations taking place with journalism and storytelling on the web. And you can go to Your Call Radio to see Hollow and scroll through the documentary. On today's Your Call, we are speaking with three interactive storytellers about their work in this kind of journalism. Elaine McMillan Sheldon is an award-winning documentary storyteller, visual journalist, and one of Filmmaker Magazine's 25 New Faces of Independent Film. Hollow is her most recent project. It won the 2013 Peabody Award. And Elaine joins us from the studios of WVTF in Charlottesville, Virginia. Hi, Elaine. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you. We're also joined by Jeff Soik. He is the designer and architect for Hollow. Jeff is an award-winning media artist with experience in new media design, motion design, animation, photography, and film. And Jeff joins us from Boston. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you. And we're joined in studio by Carrie Ching. Carrie is an award-winning independent multimedia journalist and producer. Her latest project is an illustrated documentary series for Vice Media called Correspondent Confidential. For 6 years, Carrie led digital storytelling projects at the Center for Investigative Reporting as senior producer of multimedia. She pioneered and produced CIR's award-winning animated and graphic journalism features, including the amazing Emmy Award-winning documentary In Jennifer's Room. It's a harrowing tale told with simple illustrations. It's about a young, developmentally disabled woman in a place that was supposed to keep her safe. And you can also find that video at yourcallradio.org. And Carrie joins me here in studio. Hi, Carrie. Thank you for coming in.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So first off, your work, all of your work, is fantastic. It's really amazing to see how you took such compelling, really in-depth stories and package them into such amazing online documentaries. Carrie, this has been evolving over the past couple of years. It's not new, but it seems like it's getting a lot more attention and definitely more attention in terms of winning awards. Can you talk a little bit about how online documentaries have evolved over the past few years?
I think that really it's just that people are getting more of their serious news from the web. I mean, this is, you know, documented through a lot of studies. Pew does studies every year looking at where people are getting their news. And, online is just growing and growing every year, including online video. And so I think that's just really opened up a space for a lot of us to start creating, you know, serious journalism on this platform and really just playing with the ways that we tell stories on this platform. I mean, it is new in that sense. There, you know, it's sort of the Wild West. Like, there are really, I mean, there are some some rules. It's a square screen, you know, but you're dealing with some technology limitations. But it really is wide open in terms of storytelling. So that's really fun.
Yeah. What would you add to that, Elaine? Because it is such a powerful way to tell a story. I mean, Carrie's piece In Jennifer's Room is just about 12 minutes long. The story itself would take much longer to read the article, but it's so powerful in a short amount of time. And then Hollow, I mean, I think I spent about 2 hours going through Hollow last night because it tells so many amazing stories. But can you talk about the power of telling these stories through interactive and online documentaries?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this is my first interactive documentary, so Jeff can speak to this too in terms of the historical context. But I think something that's interesting is that you're seeing quite a few interactive stories coming about that are about place. And I think that's because you're able to really recreate environments online and make this more immersive. And so the stories that lend themselves to being interactive are typically those that are nonlinear and encourage some type of user participation, excuse me. And so throughout Hollow, we invite you to sort of be part of the experience. We invite you to submit a photo through Instagram and bring in Twitter and bring Google Maps and different things like that. So I think that with this story, we were able to tell so many more different stories, you know, tell the story about the sewage, the issues with the sewage, like you mentioned, but also be able to tell a story back to back about housing and all these different things that really wouldn't fit in a 60-minute film. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of films made about Appalachia and the issues in the boom and bust regions of our country. And this particular project has been able to reach a very wide audience. And I think people are drawn to it at first for the technology. And they're interested in this form. And then hopefully, like you, they stay for the story. And, you know, the platform allowed us to tell up to, I think we have around 4 hours of content on there. So if you really watch every single piece, community-generated content, if you participate in the data visualizations and things like that, you know, you could spend up to 4 hours. And so I do think it's interesting that a lot of the ones that are coming out from the National Film Board of Canada and Arte and the different makers of this are about place, because I think it's a really great opportunity for filmmakers who are telling a story that's much bigger than a 57-minute film can fit. Mm.
Jeff, what excites you about this form of storytelling?
Well, I think it's definitely an opportunity to empower audiences and subjects and kind of have a very collaborative effort to tell stories that evolve over time. You know, obviously these technologies allow us to provide updates and just serve up new content on an ongoing basis that is not necessarily like the traditional one-off, you know, film screening. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there for just collaboration across the board and kind of sharing responsibility and just the merging of multiple skills, like having media makers from varying backgrounds coming together to tell unique stories.
Why don't you all talk about one of your favorite online documentaries that you've seen recently and describe what was so compelling about it. Carrie, what stands out for you?
Sure. I mean, I always go back to the NFB, the National Film Board of Canada. They do really amazing work. And, you know, there's one called High Rise that's really just beautifully done that sort of allows you to explore. There were several sort of projects within that sort of grand project. But, you know, there's one called Out My Window where you sort of explore these high rises and it's, you sort of enter into this world and you can move around within the rooms and there's all of this embedded, you know, video and sound, and it's very immersive. You feel like you're there, and I think that's, you know, that's very well done. Bear 71 is another one that's really interesting that they've done that, you know, some people love it, some people hate it. It follows basically a bear that was tagged, you know, as a cub through their big national park. And it sort of gives you the experience as the bear. It's strange. It's amazing and it's strange. One thing I really loved about that project, though, and it's a very small part of it, but I think it's something that I see a lot of promise in, and it sort of excited me, is there's one part you can click on. So you can like click on all these different little icons that are traveling around like a map of the park. And you might, you know, it's different animals within the park, basically. And you click on one of them, and it actually turns on your webcam, and it's you. So all of a sudden, you're seeing yourself. And it's, you know, it's a little freaky, but it really just opened my eyes to this whole possibility of, like really immersing you in the story, in the sense that you could be part of the story, you know, not just in the way that you follow it, but that you actually could be in the story. And I love that.
What is that one called?
It's Bear 71.
Okay. And we'll find these and put links at yourcallradio.org right after the show. Elaine, what about you? What documentaries have you seen recently that you thought were really good?
Well, there used to be when we were doing Jeff did a good market research when we were sort of figuring out what we wanted Hollow to be. And one of our biggest inspirations was Welcome to Pine Point, which is by the NFB as well, the goggles. And the reason that was inspiration was the use of sound online and sound design to create environment. But I think the most interesting project that I keep coming back to and keep referring to other people, and there's other ones like it, is this interesting use of data to tell a story, you know, more than just an infographic, but actually use data animated in a way that makes a compelling story come to life. And so the one I would recommend checking out is Out of Sight, Out of Mind, which is about drone attacks. Hmm. And it's really beautifully done. It's extremely, it's a very simple design. There aren't a lot of bells and whistles to it, but it's just so elegant and beautiful, and I think a very powerful way to tell that story.
And what about you, Jeff?
Well, I definitely am totally with NFB. I mean, that was really the source of a lot of our inspiration starting out. And only other one I would add to the list off the top of my head is Clouds Over Cuba. I thought it was a really great project and did some really interesting things in terms of syncing. You could sync your phone to the actual dates of the Cuban Missile Crisis and kind of relive the events in real time in a way. And kind of also sync your calendar on your desktop. And they just had an interesting way of allowing you to kind of dig a little deeper with kind of unlocking additional content and having a little area where you can access additional videos and so forth, and really making a pretty compelling story and a really good usable interface and things like that. So I thought it was a really well-presented, well-architected piece.
Where do you start out? So, for example, Carrie, in Jennifer's Room, this piece is based on reporting by Ryan Gabrielson mm-hmm. with California
That's right.
Watch. His piece is called Police Ignored Mishandled Sex Assaults Reported by Disabled. And this piece is about caregivers at the Sonoma Developmental Center. In August 2006, they found dark blue bruises shaped like handprints covering a patient named Jennifer, and she accused a staff member of molestation. Her injuries appeared to be evidence of sexual abuse, indicating that someone had violently grabbed her. So when you have a long, very reported, in-depth reported piece like this, where do you start?
So let's see, where to begin? So this was actually a year-long project that Ryan had been reporting. So there were several articles within this series looking at various, you know, kinds of abuse at these facilities. And so I had actually done another online documentary with him about another patient and earlier in the year. So this was, 2011? No.
12,
yeah. So... And for that story, we had a lot of material to work with. We had video, we had photos. The father of the patient who had been found on the floor of his room in the residence with a broken neck. And then later they had to disconnect his life support because he wasn't going to make it. The father had collected a ton of material. He was a former police officer. And so with that... You know, I put together this really sort of intense online documentary that was sort of cut together like a, you know, I should go back, going back to inspirations, you know, I actually look a lot to film because I just think the powerful storytelling in film and really good narrative writing is really what sort of drives me trying to figure out how to package that in a, you know, a more concise way for the web. You know, so I was looking at like Thin Blue Line and, you know, creating this really intense sort of dark feature for the web. So we did that. We moved on to, you know, there was another case of sexual abuse with Jennifer. The problem was there was no media to work with. It was, you know, an anonymous source. She didn't want to be identified. It was a sexual abuse case. We weren't going to identify her anyway. Her mother also didn't want to be identified. No photos, no video, nothing, right? So a very powerful story. I really wanted to tell it on the web. In a visual way, and we just couldn't do it. So we were actually going to do just an audio story. I mean, this could be really powerful with sort of Ryan narrating, and then we had all the mother's, the transcript from all the interviews with the mother. So I figured, well, we can cut together a sort of audio drama, you know, which we were moving along with until we started to think about illustration. I mean, I had done some animated features previously that were more of sort of animated explainers, but this was a narrative and, you know, very character driven. we decided we didn't want to do animation. It was just too intense of a subject. You know, this is about sexual abuse. We actually didn't have all of the details of exactly what happened in this room, and, you know, so trying to animate that just seemed a little like that would be pushing it a little too far and just, you know, sort of bad taste. So we actually settled on still illustrations, which I wasn't sure if it was going to work. I mean, it was a grand experiment. I really was worried that stills were going to just feel too stagnant. I mean, this is online. Everybody wants it to be fast and flashy and, you know, whiz-bang. And this was really actually kind of going backwards in a sense, where we were going to simplify back down to, like, the level of, you know, a graphic novel basically told online. And it really just resonated with people. I mean, I think the fact that it was, you know, sort of very simplified, two voices, you know, telling a story with still illustrations that with some very subtle movement, you know, I think it, the story itself was so intense that it really didn't detract or distract from the story. And I think it made it more powerful.
In some cases, simplicity is most effective.
Yeah. So that's been interesting. Someone actually once told me they loved how low tech it was, you know, like it really is sort of going backwards in that sense where we're going to take it way back down to, like, not even moving video. Like, you know, this is really simple illustrations, subtle movement, and like one or two voices just pulling you through a very powerful narrative.
And again, Jennifer's Room won an Emmy, and it's on at yourcallradio.org. In August 2006, caregivers at the Sonoma Developmental Center found dark blue bruises shaped like handprints covering the body of a patient named Jennifer, and she accused a staff member of molestation. According to court records, her injuries appear to be evidence of sexual abuse, indicating that someone had violently grabbed her. This was a piece reported by Ryan Gabrielson, and today's guest, Carrie Ching, turned it into an amazing online documentary. And we're going to play a clip from In Jennifer's Room.
Jennifer's case was never solved, and she's not the only one. At least 8 women living in the Corcoran unit have shown signs of sexual abuse or have accused caregivers since 2009. Patients at all 5 state-run institutions for the developmentally disabled have accused caregivers of molestation and rape 36 times during the past 4 years. Only one of these accusations has resulted in arrest.
I feel bad for the people who have no one to fight for them. There are a lot of them. They don't have any family. I told them when we were there, you know, I was a hands-on mom and I fought you for my daughter's security and I still wasn't able to protect her. Who protects these people?
And that is a clip from the online documentary In Jennifer's Room. The voice you heard first was Ryan Gabrielson, the reporter, and then an actress playing the mother of Jennifer. And this online documentary won an Emmy Award, and we're joined today by Carrie Ching. She produced In Jennifer's Room. Carrie, again, Ryan's piece, actually watching the video now makes me want to read Ryan's piece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people have really short attention spans. They might not read like a 6-part series. What feedback did you get from viewers that maybe was different from what you would have gotten from a reported piece? Do you think it reached people that wouldn't have known about this?
Oh, absolutely.
Had it not been for the video?
I think it was a totally different audience. You know, this went out on YouTube. It was, you know, circulating on blogs. Like, this was the articles came out in a newspaper, California newspapers. I think it's a totally different audience. I mean, I think it's good if people watched the video and then go look for the article, because frankly, there's no way that I could have squeezed all of that information from Ryan's reporting. I mean, he reported this for an entire year into an 11-minute video, you know. At the same time, you know, his pieces, he had to squeeze so much data and information and reporting into his articles, he couldn't give Jennifer's story, you know, the sort of breathing room that it needed to be told in this sort of powerful way. So I think they really work well together. And, you know, I think that's, I'm happy to hear that, you know, if you saw the video, you went and looked for the article, because I think they, you know, they're very complimentary.
That is Carrie Ching. She's an award-winning independent multimedia journalist and producer. And you can, again, see In Jennifer's Room at yourcallradio.org. Elaine McMillan Sheldon is an award-winning documentary storyteller. Hollow is her most recent project. It's actually her first documentary. It won the 2013 Peabody Award. It's about the boom, bust, and rebirth of McDonnell County in West Virginia. Its population peaked at 100,000 in the 1950s, but it has been declining ever since. And Jeff Soik is the designer and architect for Hollow. He's an award-winning media artist at McDowell County. Did I say that right? Okay, McDowell County. And if you'd like to join us, if you have any questions for our guest today about this fairly new and really booming form of journalism, online storytelling, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you've seen an online documentary that you'd like to talk about, what was it that was effective? Did it lead you to maybe read a longer story? And if you just have any questions about this form of journalism and its effectiveness, we'd love to hear from you. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. So, Elaine, what are your thoughts on the audiences that this kind of journalism brings in? Because, again, we're so inundated with information, and a lot of people, you know, don't read long-form journalism anymore. I mean, I know a lot do, but a lot don't, frankly. And so it seems like these kinds of interactive videos, especially when you're talking about young people, would be more appealing.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I think that if designed properly and if they require minimal effort on your user's behalf, they become more like a cinematic experience that you can set aside in an hour to have, you know, away from work and things like that. And I think that that's an important thing to note is that while these are on the web and they're, you know, web native or cross-platform on the iPad, different things, you know, I think that in many ways we should be treating them as pieces of cinema and new cinema and new artworks that people can set aside to enjoy, rather than it feeling like something that they just get quickly and leave. And I know that's something that Jeff talks a lot about, is the contradiction between the web and the use of the web to as a utility to go and get information quickly and then get out. Hmm. And then cinema, which makes you sort of sit back and, you know, you're there for 57 minutes, you're there for 75 minutes or 2 hours. And you don't come in the middle of the movie. You don't choose what part you want to watch. You sit and watch it all. And so those two parts, those two platforms sort of are contradictory. And so Jeff really tried to design an experience using, you know, all this media that was collected that would allow you to learn about a story without ever clicking really anything. So as you're scrolling, you're learning the context of this town. You're really learning all the facts and seeing these images that tell a story before you even click in to watch a short film. And there are 30 short films on there, so...
Well, it's really powerful. And again, that online documentary is called Hollow, and you can check it out at yourcallradio.org. That's Elaine McMillan. She is an award-winning documentary storyteller. Hollow is her first project, and it won the 2013 Peabody Award. Jeff Soik is the designer and architect for Hollow. He's an award-winning media artist. And Carrie Ching is an award-winning independent multimedia journalist. Her latest project is an illustrated documentary series for Vice Media called Correspondent Confidential. We'll talk about that after a break. And she also won an Emmy for the documentary In Jennifer's Room. And today we are talking about this evolving form of storytelling, online documentaries. If you've seen one that you'd like to tell us about, we'd love to hear from you. And if you have any questions about the power of storytelling, give us a call. We'll be back after this.
Listening to your call here on KALW, local public radio. To join in today's conversation, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you'd rather write than call, the email inbox address is feedback@yourcallradio.org. Coming up in 30 minutes at 11 o'clock, the BBC's World Have Your Say. Later tonight at 11, it's Resound from the Third Coast International Audio Festival. Award-winning producer and writer Gwen Maxey presents unforgettable audio stories carefully curated from round the world. Resound tonight at 11 here on KALW.
Is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, Holly Kernan will have a conversation with journalist Nell Bernstein about her new book, Burning Down the House, The End of Juvenile Prison. The United States spends $88,000 per year to incarcerate a young person in a state facility. That's more than eight times the amount spent on education. So how does the juvenile system work and how should it be reformed? That is tomorrow. And then Thursday, we are doing a summer reading show. So grab a list of some of your favorite books and give us a call or drop us an email for Thursday's show. Today we are talking about the power of telling compelling stories through online and interactive documentaries. There's so much amazing work out there, and I hope you can take some time to go to yourcallradio.org and check out some of the documentaries that we're highlighting, including today's guests' documentaries. Elaine McMillan Sheldon is an award-winning documentary storyteller. Hollow is her first project. It won a 2013 Peabody Award. It's about the boom, bust, and rebirth of McDowell County in West Virginia. Jeff Soik is designer and architect for Hollow. He's an award-winning media artist. And Carrie Ching is an award-winning independent multimedia journalist and producer. She won an Emmy for In Jennifer's Room. It's about a young, developmentally disabled woman in a place that was supposed to keep her safe. Carrie, her latest project is an illustrated documentary series for Vice Media called Correspondent Confidential. And if you'd like to join us, if you have recently seen an online documentary that really was compelling and drew you in, we'd love to hear about it. What are your thoughts on this form of journalism and, you know, the power to really tell a compelling story through video and photographs and drawings? You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Kelly in Berkeley. Hi, Kelly. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hello. Oh, that was so quick. I thought I'd be sitting here for so long. I haven't quite articulated my question in the best manner yet, but in terms of, as you're talking about this form of journalism and as it's something developing something new, but you also keep using this the term or the phrase of storytelling. And I come from a storytelling family in the Midwest. My grandma used to always say, stories only happen to folks that can tell them. But storytelling, in my mind, seems very different than journalism. And I was just curious, in terms of the new and developing forms of journalism that are happening, in terms of that are more storytelling-focused, is there space or malleability in the rules of journalism for perhaps composite stories or, I mean, not fiction, but could you put multiple people's stories together to create one or, I don't know, I'm just curious, it's new, and how much space is there without getting outside of journalism.
Well, thank you. It's an interesting question, and I think Hollow does an amazing job of this because, again, it focuses on McDowell County, where half of the homes are rated below normal quality levels. They've got a 22% illiteracy rate, where residents lack basic literacy skills. Some kids miss 50 to 60 days of school. And Jeff, what I loved so much about Hollow is just this, the stories that you told about these individuals who are so generous and who care so much about what they're facing. For example, this is a really simple one, but it was just so nice. Mary Marino Lewis, who really cares about health. She teaches fitness classes to local people. She's got simple stories like, you know, trying to build a new exercise facility. And she talks about teen pregnancy, how the kids aren't eating well. And, you know, she teaches Zumba to young kids and old people. And it's just such an amazing, like, I think it was 3 or 4 minutes, but really, really compelling. So can you talk about that, the power of telling these individual stories, and then, you know, address Kelly's question, and how does that form of journalism have space for these stories?
I think I'm going to pass this one over to Elaine, since she comes from the journalism background, if that's okay.
Oh, sure. Okay, Elaine.
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting to not think of journalism as storytelling, because behind every I think storytelling is sort of this umbrella, and we have these different tools to tell them in different ways, whether we take a more journalistic approach and use hard facts and what we did with Hollow was we took, you know, the qualitative stories of people and put them next to the quantitative data. And oftentimes, I think in journalism, just, you know, strict journalism, data is used to represent people because it helps to simplify the story. It helps to sort of make a point very quickly. But what we wanted to do with Hollow is sort of unpack that and say, okay, you may have a really low health rating in this county, but what are people trying to do to stop that? And so it was about sort of finding the active voices that were going against these data points. And so I do think it's a mix of, you know, documentary and journalism and a bit of cinema, because at the end of the day, I mean, you can tell the greatest story, but if you don't have, you know, a good way to deliver that story and a compelling way to deliver that story, it doesn't matter if it's journalism or fiction, no one's going to stay tuned and watch it. And so I do think there's plenty of room for journalism and storytelling and fiction storytelling, nonfiction as well, in this space to combine stories with compelling data to help tell more richer narratives.
And Jeff, talk a little bit about the design process, because what makes Hollow so amazing is you're basically scrolling down, and as you're scrolling, you're seeing the photos of the people featured in Hollow, and you can click on circles, which brings up more information about them, maybe some statistics. And then there's the play button. And so as the viewer, you decide, you know, which one seems most interesting to you. How did you go about designing that? Because in one section, in some cases, you've got four photos next to each other along with statistics.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you know, we wanted to give the user control right up front. We wanted to give them the opportunity to explore at their own pace. I think that scrolling, you know, that's called parallax, you know, allows for that in terms of the speed at which they consume content, their ability to kind of go back and forth, and just kind of providing an overarching narrative and kind of understanding of place and the people within it before you dive, dig a little deeper. You know, it's kind of like this tiered approach we always saw it as. So you kind of have this high-level kind of perspective, and then you can kind of go one level deeper into someone's more personal portrait and then go even deeper into some maybe additional content relative to that person's story. So it just really, this the kind of scrolling technique just really lent itself perfectly to the goals that we had kind of mapped out for ourselves right at the beginning of the project. We felt like it really just accomplished a lot of those priorities that we had.
Well, I want to play a clip from Hollow. Again, 13% of West Virginia residents lack basic literacy skills in McDowell County. The focus of your documentary, it's 22%. Young people and grandparents are raising their kids. And in this clip, you're going to hear from Susan Hardy, a Kimball Elementary School teacher with 30 years of experience in McDowell County, and Nikki Cavalier-Rabble, who travels over 3 hours to teach a four-week literacy camp. And this is a clip from the interactive documentary Hollow.
When I first started at Kimball, we had close to 350 kids. Mostly two-parent families. All the kids and the daddies were working in the mines. The mamas didn't work. When the mines closed, a lot of daddies were put out of work. The mothers went back to school or got jobs. Now we have a lot of single-parent families, a lot of mommies, grandparents raising kids, lots of young people with children.
McDowell County is a very poverty-stricken county, and that's a fact.
One of our biggest issues in this county, I think, is attendance. I had kids that missed 50 and 60 days of school. This past year, the whole year, 178 days of school. I had 7 days that I had all of my students there. We're expected to teach, and we're expected to get the test scores up, but if they're not there, you can't teach them.
And that is a clip from the interactive web documentary Hollow, which is about the boom, bust, and rebirth of McDowell County in West Virginia. And Elaine, what response have you received, or what have you heard from the residents of McDowell County who are in this documentary?
Well, when we were making it, they were part of the process. So we actually held 3 storytelling workshops while we were there over the course of from May to September 2012. And we had 20 participants who shot footage for the documentary. So, you know, they've been involved through the whole process and really trying to explain to them what this would be was very hard. Because, I mean, Hollow, I think you did a great job of explaining Hollow in the beginning of the show. And it's kind of a hard thing to explain, in a sense, for someone who's never seen an online interactive narrative. And so what we did over the summer when we were there is like, you know what? It doesn't matter what the form is. Let's just communicate to the people what this is about. And so once they saw it, they were just sort of blown away because they really didn't have a concept of what this would look like. They knew they were creating content for a documentary that would be online. But once they saw all their stories weaved together into this beautiful collage that Jeff created throughout each of these chapters, I mean, imagine this being your town where, you know, you've lost 80% of your population since 1950. You've seen buildings, you know, be torn down and just sort of things falling down around you, and then seeing this brought to life online. Mm. I mean, it's a super powerful moment, I think, for many of them. And you can't deny there are some issues with, you know, one of the things we haven't addressed yet is broadband speeds. You know, we're working in an area that isn't necessarily the most connected.
Right.
So how do we bring this project to them? And one of the ways that we tried to solve that is we created a lo-fi version of like a blog tool that they use that feeds into the interactive experience. And so, I mean, they've been thrilled. We had a premiere the weekend after we launched online there downtown in Welch, and we had, you know, well over 200 people, and we, you know, put a big screen up outside and screened nearly all the documentaries. And, you know, I thought that I had met a lot of people while we were in production, but when I showed up there, I didn't even know half the people, and it was a really amazing moment to see the community come together for it.
The one thing that really struck me about this is that the fact that this area has so many struggles with high literacy rates, high poverty rates, you name it. I mean, the food bank serves 700 households a month, but the generosity of the people was also amazing, and it just made me think about, you know, how great it would be if the cable shows focused more on these kinds of stories and just what were the possibilities of bringing these stories to the masses. And I'm sure that, you know, that's one of your goals. But can you also talk about that? Because I think you're all really filling a void here with this kind of journalism.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really glad to hear you say that, because we are right in the middle of, you know, this type of media production that does lend a more authentic voice to this community, because, you know, you have on one side MTV's Buck Wild that was being filmed at the same time, and then you had a film called Oxiana that came out at the same time ours did that focused on the OxyContin drug abuse. Addiction, I'm sorry. And so, and that film was not well received by that community. And we took a little bit different of an approach and really allowed the community to be part of that process, but still keep a level of journalism with that would allow us to tell a pretty, unbiased story as much as possible. I'm from West Virginia. I love the place and I would love to see it change. So it's kind of hard to say this is unbiased. But I do think that, there is room for these types of stories. And you know, when we did get the Peabody Award, it was sort of a really nice stamp of approval that, you know, these are stories that matter and that we should start paying more attention to these stories rather than the stereotypical images that we see coming out of small towns in Appalachia.
Yeah, it's so refreshing. Carrie, what are your thoughts on that? What void do you think these online documentaries can fill?
Well, I mean, I think going along with your question, I can sort of address the question that Kelly had raised about storytelling and, you know, is there room in traditional journalism for this kind of storytelling, or, you know, sort of bending the rules in a sense of traditional journalism? And I think the answer is yes, and we have to, because, you know, it's been proven, and actually we did a lot of, stat tracking for viewers when I was at CIR, especially with online video, showing that it just really doesn't work to cut a piece like a television story and put it on the web or write an article like it's for the newspaper and put it on the web. It just doesn't work. You really have to shape the media for the medium. And, you know, I think really stretching sort of the way that we tell stories, you know, pushing the boundary forward, is one way that we do that. And, you know, some of the things that we do make some traditional journalists uncomfortable, and some people embrace it wholeheartedly. So, you know, I think we are in this moment of sort of evolving and pushing things forward. And it's, you know, it's not always comfortable. Some people really, you know, push back. And
in what ways?
Just, you know, I mean, even within Jennifer's room, when it came out, there were some people who said, you know, well, is this journalism? Like, this is an artistic interpretation. You know, you're using a voice actor. Like, this is really pushing it too far. And, you know, I think documentary filmmakers are comfortable with this sort of thing because they've sort of, you know, turned nonfiction storytelling into art, and they're comfortable with that. Hard news people, not always so comfortable. I mean, it's to push somebody who's very comfortable in sort of a newspaper setting into this realm of like journalism as art, you know, it's a new thing, and it, you sort of have to pull people along, you know, guide them. And really, I think within Jennifer's room, sort of show them how it can be done and still be done, you know, with as much factual accuracy as possible. And that it actually does resonate with people. So there's, you know, it's sort of a teach by example thing, I think.
And you're also focusing on journalists and the work they do for Correspondent Confidential.
Yes.
It's an illustrated series for Vice focusing on the, quote, secret lives of award-winning journalists. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that project is actually sort of, it's just another step forward for me in my, you know, in my thinking about all of this, in the sense that I think one of the rules of journalism that really needs to be rethought, in a sense, is this whole idea of objectivity in journalism, that, you know, the reporter is invisible and they're just telling the story and it's totally objective. And I just don't really believe that's true. Journalists are humans, you know. I mean, you can be a reporter and be as fair and balanced as possible, but claiming that you're objective, I just don't think that's realistic. So this project is really, you know, it's about journalists telling the very personal side of, you know, their reporting. And so a lot of them are, you know, investigative journalists, you know, sort of foreign correspondents. They get themselves into very hairy situations. And, you know, often those stories aren't told, you know, they tell, you know, whatever goes into the article or the radio story or the television story is a very sanitized version of what actually happens in journalism. And, you know, having worked around investigative reporters for several years and, you know, having been a reporter myself, I just know there's so many stories out there that are not being told by journalists that really, I think, provide a lot of insight into not just the reporting, but the experience of being a journalist. And I actually think there's an opening there that, we can bring people into sort of being interested in journalism by telling those, you know, more personal stories. So,
and that is,
and if you don't mind,
sure.
Could I jump in
Elaine,
real quick? And when you were saying, I think you make really good points, and I think one project that's been really successful at sticking to pretty traditional journalism reporting, that type of thing, is the NSA files decoded by The Guardian. And it's a project that everybody should check out if they're interested in seeing how, you know, a hard news story can really be covered in this type of way. And, you know, NSA files decoded is, you know, obviously it says what it is. It's the NSA files decoded, but it was shot, and designed in a way that sort of, reminded you of a newspaper, but incorporated video and data and different things that sort of brought the story to life in a new way, but stuck with that hard news journalism angle.
And that is Elaine McMillan Sheldon, an award-winning documentary storyteller. Her first and most recent project is Hollow, which tells the story of McDowell County in West Virginia. There's a link at Your Call Radio. Be sure to take some time and watch it. It won the 2013 Peabody Award. Jeff Soik is designer and architect for Hollow. He's an award-winning media artist. And Carrie Ching is an award-winning independent multimedia journalist. Her latest project is a documentary series for Vice Media called Correspondent Confidential. For 6 years, she led digital storytelling projects at the Center for Investigative Reporting. She won an Emmy for In Jennifer's Room. It's a harrowing tale told with simple illustrations about a young developmentally disabled woman in a place that was supposed to keep her safe. And you can also watch that at yourcallradio.org. And if you'd like to join us, if you have any questions for our guests about the power of online storytelling through documentaries, or if you've seen a documentary recently that you'd like to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's hear from Susan in Oakland. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I really love your show, and I'm really I'm excited to see Hollow, and I just love that I feel like people are really taking back the power of storytelling, and there's so many stories that don't get any time for obvious reasons that we all know. But so I just wanted to ask, I'm literally on the web right now, and I went to Hollow, and it's optimized for Google Chrome, and it's an HTML5 experience. I'm pretty internet savvy, and I'm not on Google Chrome for just the privacy reasons of Google and stuff. So, but I wanted to know how if that is limiting your reach, being on only being able to do Google Chrome, or and the decision you came to choose that.
All right, thanks. Well, I used Safari yesterday and had a great experience. But Jeff, do you want to answer that one?
Yeah, well, we have to use more modern, more capable browsers because we were kind of pushing the limits as to what it could do syntactically and everything. So Safari definitely works as well, but definitely is geared more towards Chrome. It's just a more powerful browser than the others. And, you know, ideally, we could carry it over to other browsers as well, but it just was something we couldn't really invest in given the time and the funding and everything that we had available to us because it really was just something that Google Chrome is just a much more powerful engine for doing this kind of work, for at least what we were trying to accomplish. So we do maybe miss out on some users, but I mean, we try and, you know, point you off the direction to do a simple download to get the Chrome browser, and it's really not any more than if you're watching any kind of Flash content online, it's the same kind of download process as that would be.
Well, and I also appreciate it because when I was watching Hollow, I really wanted to share some of the videos on Facebook, and I thought, oh, darn, I can't do this. But then I found that you actually placed all of the videos are at Vimeo, so you can watch them separately if you don't want to, you know, deal with the multimedia and the interactivity.
Right. Yes, yeah, definitely. You can access the video portraits themselves, yeah.
And did you want to jump in, Elaine?
Well, I think one thing we haven't talked about it is also, you know, money involved with this. Mm. And I think that's a lot of one of the reasons, you know, this call has a lot to do with money, more so than, you know, money and technology limitations, as Jeff said. And, you know, we made Hollow with just around or under $130,000, which is not maybe like, I don't know, a third of what you typically or half of what you typically would have for this type of project. And we had a very small team. And so we were really bootstrapped in a lot of ways. But this type of project is not really sustainable at the point in which we're at, in my opinion. Hollow, the server costs are $730 a month. We have 4 gigabytes of media in the experience. And so, you know, we knew these costs were coming, and so it was a matter of how much more money can we put into the development of this to be cross-browser versus how long can we keep this alive and online. And so when you're an independent filmmaker and journalist, as we all are, you really have to make those hard decisions. And, you know, we had great funding from Tribeca Film Institute and some others, but, you know, there's never enough, it seems. And luckily, the project was just licensed by a university, so it'll live on as long as the internet lives along. Who knows what it'll look like in 5 years? There's another issue is archiving.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of open up a can of worms, really, the browser question.
Well, thank you for calling in, Susan. And Marsha, I'm sorry, we don't have time to take your call, but Marsha wanted to bring up Annie Leonard's videos online, like the story of stuff. There's a great piece about cell phones, about consumerism. There's just so many great interactive videos. So thank you. And we'll put a link at yourcallradio.org. We have just about a minute left. Carrie, what really inspires you to do this kind of work? And what's your next project?
I mean, it's funny because I actually got into journalism through narrative writing. So really, it's for me, it always has been about really powerful storytelling about serious subjects that, you know, people hopefully should be caring about. So whether that was in writing or video, and now in this sort of, you know, strange world of multimedia, I mean, that's always been what's driven me. And, you know, I've hit on something right now that's really exciting with, you know, weaving together art and journalism. I'm not necessarily, you know, that may not be what I'm doing 5 years from now. Like I'm kind of just riding it and seeing where it goes. So, I think, you know, I'll be probably doing more of this illustrated journalism in the future, but this may lead me to something else completely.
And what about you, Elaine? 30 seconds. What inspires
you? Yeah, I'm just inspired by the sort of how we can push the limits and combine data, real stories, and sort of user interaction with important stories in our country and world.
And Jeff?
Yeah, I just love the potential in merging media and skill sets and getting people from varying backgrounds together to collaborate on these very meaningful stories, and also getting, you know, the audience and the subjects involved as well to really tell something that's ever evolving and changing, and hopefully will provide new information on ongoing basis and provide an actual lasting impact.
That is Jeff Soik, designer and architect for Hollow. Elaine McMillan Sheldon is an award-winning documentary storyteller. Her first project is Hollow. It won the 2013 Peabody Award. And Carrie Ching is an award-winning independent journalist. She won an Emmy for In Jennifer's Room, and she's now working on Vice Media's Correspondent Confidential. Thank you all for joining us, and thanks so much for your amazing work. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And before ending today's show, I want to give a huge thanks to Your Call producer Ali Budner. Ali has been producing Your Call since 2009. For the past 5 years, she's been pitching ideas, booking guests, doing background research, reading books, and writing run sheets and promos. I always say that producers deserve so much more credit. Over that time, it's been such a joy, Ali, to watch you grow and find your voice. Ali recently won an Edward R. Murrow Award for The Race to an Emergency. It's an hour-long documentary she produced about Oakland's 911 system. And next month, Ali is going on a reporting trip to Fukushima, Japan. While we will greatly miss you, Ali, we know that you have so many exciting reporting adventures ahead. Thank you for your hard work and your huge heart. And thank you for listening. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. What would you change about the juvenile prison system? On the next Your Call, we'll have a conversation with journalist Nell Bernstein about her new book, Burning Down the House, The End of Juvenile Prison. The U.S. spends $88,000 per year to incarcerate a young person in a state facility. That's more than 8 times the amount spent on education. So how does the juvenile system work, and how should it be reformed? Join the conversation on the next Your Call with Holly Kernan and you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter, or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.